I'm not complaining, I'm not complaining, I'm not complaining, I love ya.
I'm not complaining, I'm not complaining, I'm not complaining, I love ya.
I'm not complaining.
Whoa, whoa, hold on, cut, stop, 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 hang on. Look, this is not I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno, okay? If you want to listen to a quality podcast, go and listen to theirs. This is my podcast. It's nothing like theirs. It's about Christmas. It's poorly constructed. It's poorly recorded. But it's my podcast. I'm sorry. Don't, if you got excited, you thought you were listening to I'm Not Complaining, unlucky. You're listening to my podcast. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder Carbine Action 2 on the Shot Range Model Air Rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. Merry Christmas and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and I've got a show for you. Is it a packed show? Possibly. Is it a good show? Unlikely. But it's my show, and that's what's important. Should we start with the interactive bit? Here we go. So what do you think of my new shirt? Well, no, it's not new, but it's my newest shirt. Well, I've had it 5 years, but it's the newest shirt I've bought. Well, I clean it, don't I? I wash it. Yeah, of course it's got holes in it. It's five... Oh, forget it. Move on. And scene. That was a good one, wasn't it? Yeah, I feel like we've achieved something there. So, boys and girls, I don't think I've got any housekeeping. I had some nice emails from people sending in their scores and a few people complimenting the show, which is always nice. I do appreciate that. Yeah, but other than that, I don't think there's any housekeeping, so we're going to get started with this.
I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing. I'm in a store, and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
So boys and girls, last episode I talked about the song You Make It Feel Like Christmas by Neil Diamond. And the reason I talked about this song was because listener Jason Matusiak had suggested it because I talked about another Neil Diamond Christmas song and he thought I should talk about that one. And I said I'd never heard of it. But the thing is, when I was playing it and listening to it, my wife said to me, you know, I have heard that. That's been on a film. But I had a search and I couldn't find what film it had been on. But she definitely had heard it and definitely recognised it. And after she said that, I sort of thought, yeah, it does ring a bell. But again, like I say, couldn't find out what film it's from. Anyway, we're not talking about that the song this week. But we are talking about some more songs from Jason Matusiak. Now, here's the deal. A while ago, I can't remember who it was. You're going to have to forgive me for this. One of my listeners is probably there going, that was me. I sent them in. One of my lovely listeners sent in a load of songs that they said were Christmas classics in the US. And I had to say if I'd heard them or not. And I hadn't heard any of them, I don't think. Or maybe one I think I was familiar with. But then I got emails from other people saying those songs aren't really Christmas classics in the US. And I think the problem you've got is the US is so broad. The differences between the tastes in the East Coast and the West Coast and the North and the South, they're quite different. So songs that might get radio play in certain parts of the States might not be getting them in other parts of the States. So if you're in the US and you've never heard of these songs, well, don't blame Jason Matusiak. Blame where you live. Now, I don't know where Jason lives in the US, but these are the songs he sent me. Now, he sent me 11 songs plus a two that he said are just classics local to him. I'm going to cover 6 this week and 5 next week. Here comes the first one. Have a listen to this. So that song was Christmas, Baby Please Come Home by Darlene Love, and it was released in 1963. And you might not know this, but it never actually charted when it was first released. And it only ever really charted on the Billboard Hot 100 thanks to streaming, in recent years. The highest it got to was number 14, and that was Christmas Just Gone. So, have I heard it? Of course I bloomin' have! Everyone's heard it! I've even played it on the show before, and I can't remember if it was on my show or my daughter's show, but also I had a version of the girls singing. I think it was Robin and Juno, and Juno was doing Christmas, and Robin was doing the Please Come Home bit. Yeah. So yes, of course I know that one, Jason Matuszak. Everyone does. Let's do the second one.
Merry Christmas, darling. We're apart, that's true. But I can dream, and in my dreams, I'm Christmasing with you. Holidays are joyful.
Okay, this song was by the Carpenters. It's called Merry Christmas, Darling, and it was released in 1970. And in the UK, it got to number 45. And in the US, on the Cashbox chart, it got to number 41. Never hit the Billboard Hot 100, though. Yes, I was familiar with this one. I think you hear it occasionally on the radio here. I don't know where I'm familiar with it from. It could be that I've heard it on the radio. It's more likely that I've seen it in films, but definitely I've heard it. Not one you hear every year, but definitely one that have heard. Yeah, it's a lovely song. The Carpenters, great tune. Okay, let's see if I know the next one. Here it comes.
How'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island? How'd you like to spend the holiday away across the sea? How'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island? How'd you like to hang a stock?
So that one, boys and girls, was Jimmy Buffett with Christmas Island, and this was from 1996. Here's the thing. From what I can gather, it wasn't actually released as a single, but it was on the album of the same name, Christmas Island. Do I know this one? I sort of think I do, but I don't really know. I feel like it's one I've heard on a film or maybe a TV show of some kind, maybe The Simpsons or something, but definitely not on the radio here, not one I was familiar with at all, no. Nice tune though, I did enjoy it. Yeah, and I'd like to visit Christmas Island. Maybe Bob could cover it in Where Are You Christmas? Or maybe it doesn't exist. Oh, of course it does. You've got the Christmas Islands, haven't you? Yeah. I don't know if they celebrate Christmas much there, but that is the name. Anyway, can we move on? This is the next one. Here it comes.
You made this a Christmas to remember. Springtime feelings in the middle of December. Strangers.
So boys and girls, that was Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton with A Christmas to Remember, and it came out in 1984. It wasn't a single, but it was on the album Once Upon a Christmas by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, and that song was written by Dolly Parton. I can't lie, I didn't really care for it that much. One of my favourite country songs is Kenny and Dolly with Islands in the Stream. Love that song, love it. It's written by the Bee Gees, don't you know? But yeah, I just sort of thought it sounded a little bit 80s, didn't really care for it. I don't know how big a classic that is in the US, but I had never heard it before at all in the UK. No, not that I was ever aware of anyway. So, interesting though. But again, one that I didn't know. Okay, this next one, have a listen to this.
Mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? Donde está Santa Claus? And the toys that he will leave. Mamacita, oh, where is Santa Claus? I look for him because it's Christmas Eve.
So that one was Augie Rios with Donde Esta Santa Claus, which means Where Are You Santa Claus? It was released in 1958, And there's not a lot I can say about it. Now, on Wikipedia, it says it was a hit, but I can't find a chart performance for it. So I don't know if it was a big hit or not. I'll tell you this, though. The B-side to it was Old Fatso, and then in brackets, I don't care who you are, Old Fatso, get those reindeer off my roof. It's nice, isn't it? The answer's no. So, was I familiar with it? No, I wasn't. But I have heard it before. And I only say I've heard it before because it was in the film El Camino Christmas. Now, I've seen El Camino Christmas. I don't remember much about it. But I've watched the film and that song was in it. So I've definitely heard it. But if you'd asked me before, I would have said no, I hadn't heard it. Certainly not a classic in the UK. But according to Jason Matusiak, it is in the US. Now, this is the last one. And I'm sure you'll recognise the voice. Here it comes.
Cause one little Christmas tree can light up a home, so one little child can find a toy. One little Christmas tree can light up a home, so one little heart can find some joy.
So that was Stevie Wonder, if you didn't recognise his voice, and it was One Little Christmas Tree, and this came from 1967. Here's the thing. It wasn't actually released as a single, but it was part of an album called Someday at Christmas, and from that album, Stevie Wonder did release two singles, and they were Someday at Christmas and What Christmas Means to Me, both of which I was familiar with, not really familiar with. They're not like massive classics in the UK, but I was familiar with both of those. Not this one though, not One Little Christmas Tree. Didn't know it at all. So there you go. That was the first six songs from Jason Matusiak. Thanks for that, Jason. I can tell you, I knew two of them definitely, and one of them possibly. Now, if you're in the US and you want to give me some feedback and say, I've never heard any of those before in my life, he don't know what he's talking about, you're more than welcome to send me that email. I can pass on your thoughts to Jason, or I'll talk about it in the next episode. But right now, boys and girls, we're doing this.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Leavenworth, Washington? Thanks to Total Christmas fan Nettie Taboo from Seattle, we have learned of this charming little Bavarian-style village nestled in the Cascade Mountains in her own state. Leavenworth offers up a little slice of Germany in the center of the Pacific Northwest landscape, even in the warmth of summer, with its alpine architecture, festive storefronts, and cobblestone streets lifted from a classic holiday postcard. Leavenworth has enduring holiday charm all year round. You can buy ornaments in July, browse a Christmas shop in August, and stroll through a Bavarian village that looks ready for Santa at any moment. Leavenworth hosts the world's largest nutcracker collection at the Nutcracker Museum, which displays over 9,000 nutcrackers from around the world, including some from the 12th and 13th centuries, and nutting stones from the Archaic period. There is also the Kris Kringle Christmas Shop, which overflows with ornaments, collectibles, home decor, and unique gifts. In addition, you can make a stop at the family-run Leavenworth Reindeer Farm, where guests can visit a herd of reindeer, hold their shed antlers, and hand-feed them. Plus, you get to climb into Santa's sleigh for a picture. And before leaving town, don't forget to stop by the Gingerbread Factory to pick up some traditional gingerbread cookies, rolls, scones, and all things gingerbread. The store itself resembles a real-life gingerbread house. Now, if you know of another fairy tale location full of gingerbread dreams and enchanting mountain vistas, you break it to Jack, he'll crack it open for me, and together we'll tell you where to find Christmas around the world.
Well, that's another nice one, isn't it? Do you know what? It amazes me. There's so many places where you can go and celebrate Christmas all year round. We should all be doing it, really. If you live near that place, get yourself around there this weekend. I might pop around there this weekend. Unlikely, though. It's Juno's birthday. Great work, Bob. But also, thank you so much for Nettie Taboo for sending that one through. She was on the show a few episodes ago. Great work, Nettie. Bob will be back in a bit, but in the meantime, we're doing this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Boys and girls, it is the quiz, and this is last week's scores. Now, Todd Pulte only scored two, but he sent it to me twice. He sent it once, And then he sent another email saying, I don't know if I've already sent you this, but I couldn't find it in my sent folder, so I'm sending it again. I think he thinks he's going to get 4 points. No, you're not, Todd. You're not getting 4 points. You get 2 points. That's what you scored. He doesn't think that I'm being silly. Thanks for sending it in, Todd. I'm proud of you for sending it in. Not for scoring two. For that, you should be ashamed of yourself. But I'm proud that you sent it in. With 3 points was David Ferguson. With 4 points, doubling her spouse, was Mary Pulte. Also with 4 points, we've got Ian White. And that was the first time he'd sent his score in. So thanks for that, Ian. I really appreciate it. Also, John Gomez and Jack Unverfirth. With 5 points, Angela Moss. With 6 points, which is what I think I scored last episode, we have Martin Goodman, Jennifer Kay, Caroline Cole, Frank Talley, and Mike Westphal. Now, boys and girls, when this comes out, the July episodes of Advent Calendar House will be released, or at least the first one or two will be out. So check those out. I'll put a link in the show notes, or at least I hope I remember to put a link in the show notes. If not, just Google Advent Calendar House podcast. It's not difficult. With 7 points, quite a few people actually. Pamela Wootton, Sean Sotka from Christmas Podcast Podcast, Stephen Beach, Benji Pearson, and Nicola McLean. But boys and girls, hold on to your underpants. Not with 8 points, not with 9 points, but with 10 whole points, 10 glorious points, all 10 points, was Dawna Lovejoy. Well done, Dawna Lovejoy. Now, in her email, she's very proud of herself, as you can imagine, but she said, I got some lucky guesses. So well done for that. I'm chuffed for you. I really am. And you all should be too. Well done, Dawna Lovejoy. So now, boys and girls, it's this episode's quiz, and I think these questions are reasonable. I'm expecting some pretty high scores. So, question number one. What do children in Holland leave out for Sinterklaas, Santa Claus, of course, to put presents into? Okay, got that? What are they leaving out? Right, next one. What is the name of the small candle often used for Christmas decorations? I mean, they're not just used for Christmas decorations, if it's the ones I'm thinking of. But anyway, it's the question from the book. Who am I to argue? Question number three. What is nacimiento? I hope I said that right. Nacimiento? I don't know. Popular in many Spanish-speaking countries. What is that? What's that the name of? Any ideas? No, me either. It's probably the way I pronounced it, though. Next one. Where in New York is there a famously big Christmas tree and a skating rink every Christmas? Where is that? In New York. I think you'll get that one. I knew it. Who sang the 1986 hit Driving Home for Christmas? If you're in the UK, you definitely know it. Sadly, he passed away last Christmas. If you're overseas, you should know it, because I've talked about it loads of times on this show. He's had quite a few hits around the world, but this one is definitely his most played in the UK. But whom? Whom, I ask you? Next one. What country do candy canes originate from? Yeah. Now, you might think they grow on trees. They don't grow on trees. Quite often people put them as decorations on trees. But that's not like the fruit of a Christmas tree. Yeah, I know. It's confusing, isn't it? You see a Christmas tree, there's lovely things to eat on it. You think, well, obviously, that's the fruit. It's not the fruit. People put the candy canes on. I'm being silly, kids. Don't get upset. Next question. What fruit was traditionally placed in a Christmas stocking? What fruit was it? Next one. On what day did my true love send me Piper's Piping? Yeah? What day? Shall I tell you how many of them? No, because then you'll get what day it is, won't you? It's blooming obvious. Goodness me. Okay. Where did we first hear about the reindeers, Comet, Cupid, Donna and Blitzen? I'm thinking it's all eight of them, to be honest, apart from Rudolph. I think it's all eight first appeared at the same time. But where? Where, boys and girls? Where? And the final question. Which holiday was the song Jingle Bells originally written for? What holiday? Okay. Okay, there we go. So there's your 10 questions. Here come your 10 lovely answers. Question number one. What do children in Holland leave out for Sinterklaas to put presents into? Now, here's the thing. I said clogs, but it's shoes. I'm accepting clogs or shoes because obviously in the old days they did leave out clogs. I thought it was still traditional for some people to leave out clogs. Anyway. we'll accept it, just because it means I get 1 point more than if I didn't accept it. Question number two. What is the name of the small candle often used for Christmas decorations? Well, it's tea lights, isn't it? But I feel like that's just, what's the name of those small candles? But it's Christmas, let's just accept it. Next one. What is Nasi Miento? It's popular in many Spanish-speaking countries. Well, I didn't get it, but it's a nativity scene. But then I'd say they're pretty popular in most countries, aren't they? The old manger scene. We've got one at our place. We always have out every year. Anyway, that's what it is. Number four. Where in New York is there a famously big Christmas tree and a skating rink each Christmas? Well, that is the Rockefeller Center. Now, I went to New York for Christmas back in 2014, I think it was, and they have a different light display, like a different theme every year on the tree. So whenever I see that on a film or something, I'm always looking, thinking, is that the year I was there? Did they film that the year I was there? Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah, we weren't there for the switching on, but then I think I've talked about this before. My wife's sister did go there 1 year for the switching on of the lights, and she said it was awful. They stood around for like 4 hours, the lights came on, and they left. That was pretty much it. And we didn't go skating on the ice rink, but we did go skating in Central Park. Yeah, the far end of Central Park, up near Harlem, because there was no queue there. Yeah. Anyway, next question. Who sang the 1986 hit, Driving Home for Christmas? Well, that was Chris Rea. And he had a number of big hits. Probably his most popular one overseas was Fool If You Think It's Over, 'Cause You Said Goodbye. Yeah, that one. Okay, what country do candy canes originate from? Germany. Yeah, now I was thinking, wow, is that an American thing originally? Or was it in the UK? Didn't even cross my mind, Germany. So I got that one wrong. Incredibly disappointed about it. Okay, what fruit was traditionally placed in a Christmas stocking? Well, kids, I used to get an orange in my... I was Satsuma, actually, but it was an orange in the old days. Yeah, I'd get a Satsuma or a clementine or a tangerine, one of those three. But it used to be an orange. And I think these days, if a kid got an orange in his stocking, he'd be pretty disappointed, possibly even annoyed. It could be another Christmas ruined. Yeah. We've never put any fruit or nuts, because nuts used to be the thing as well. When I was a kid, we'd get a tangerine, a Brazil nut and a walnut, and possibly a hazelnut as well. Yeah, which we would ignore completely, of course, as we should. But I suppose long ago, like in Victorian times, they loved getting an orange because they were pretty rare, pretty thin on the ground. Okay, next question. On what day did my true love send me Piper's Piping? Well, the answer to this is 11 Piper's Piping. And the bit I always have trouble with is the last two. I try to remember which way round the drummer's drumming and the Piper's Piping come. But it's 11, and I did get it right. Okay, next question. Where did we first hear about the reindeers Comet, Cupid, Donner and Blitzen? Well, actually, I think it said Donder and Blixen, not Donner and Blitzen. That means thunder and lightning in Germany, don't you know? But people these days say Donner and Blitzen. And the answer is the poem A Visit from St. Nicholas. And I can tell you someone who got that wrong, boys and girls. The book. Yeah, because in the book it says the poem Twas the Night Before Christmas. It ain't called Twas the Night Before Christmas. A lot of people call it Twas the Night Before Christmas. They're fools. They're not really fools. They're just misguided. Yeah, the actual poem is called A Visit from St. Nicholas. But in the book here, they've put Twas the Night Before Christmas. I mean, it's easier to recognise if you refer to it as Twas the Night Before Christmas, because people know that's the first line of the poem. But anyway, shame on book. Right, last question. Which holiday was the song Jingle Bells originally written for? And the answer is Easter. No, it's not. It's Thanksgiving. And I knew that one as well. Yeah. So, boys and girls, you know what to do. You've got to email me that score. It's very straightforward. You don't have to write anything if you don't want to. If you're not that kind of person, just give me the number. You can even put it as the subject. I've told you this loads of times. I'm telling you again. My email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. Do it now before you forget. Now, it's this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
In the spirit of the season, no, not that season, we are talking about another holiday, the 4th of July. We turn to someone who helped to build this nation, Benjamin Franklin, for his wit and wisdom on another important topic, drinking. So as we raise a glass to America's 250th birthday, recall that it was this founding father who said, "He who drinks fast pays slow." Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy, and there can't be good living where there is not good drinking. It is important to recognize that the only individual to sign the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Treaty of Paris has kept his priorities in order. Now, I know that there will be lots of parties and fireworks this weekend, and all of the celebrating is not to acknowledge the 250th anniversary of our breakup with the Brits, but instead, it's to honor that this is the 100th segment of Do You Hear What I Hear on the Total Christmas Podcast. It was a mere 4 years ago when I took note that even though we share the same language with the English, every now and then we stumble across a word or a phrase that leaves Americans completely baffled. Thus began our adventure 100 episodes ago to understand how a jumper can either be something you wear at Christmas or someone who leaps off buildings, or how a cracker can be something you eat or a holiday decoration that crowns you with a bang. To celebrate this occasion, I have listed all of the terms we have covered here on Total Christmas. So grab yourself a biscuit, pour yourself a cup of tea, and see how many of these expressions you still can remember. Cheers and happy Christmas. We've done crackers and pudding and jumpers and crisps and dodgy and bloke and muppet and pissed, Wellington, publican, governor and queue, limeys and trainers and flannel and loo, Fortnite, damn squib, taking the Mickey hamper, constable, solicitor, bugger and banger, estate wagon, aeroplane, middling and wanker, bum, nick, togs and brolly, boot, mate, cheers and trolley, bollocks, cheeky, birds and nappy, snogging, lorry and Christmas is happy, brilliant, biscuits, binmen and rubber, solicitor, rubbish and off to the pubber, there's corker, diary, whinging and knob, bugger, lift and your uncle who's Bob, chuffed, dross, blinding and wobbly, golden syrup, polysteering, even a bobby, red, yonks, sweets, casket, oi, arse, fag and git, blimey, bonnet, bloody and flat, jelly, till, wheezed and prat, university, pavement and all about mucking, garden and stag doing in that you're tucking, mum, grotto, torch and disco, fanny, pants, chinwagon, petrol, quid, sod, knackers and taps, course Father Christmas, and the last one is Nath.
Can you believe that, boys and girls? 100 episodes Bob's been on the show. 100 different words he's covered. Fantastic work, Bob. Fantastic work. I do have to say, that had me laughing. First time I heard it, I was giggling away to it. I can't believe how many swear words there were. I was shocked and stunned. Out of 100, what was that? 80% were swear words? It wasn't that many. But there's a lot of swears in there. I don't know if my mum would have found that as funny as I did. Excellent work, Bob. I love that rhyme. And I love the segment. We all know that not every episode are the words Christmas related. But Bob always finds a way of shoehorning Christmas in there somewhere with the word. Excellent work, Bob. Why don't you pay back Bob's hard work from all these episodes he's been on by going and listening to his show, Festive Foreign Film Fans. As ever, there's a link in the show notes. Go and check it out. But now, boys and girls, we're doing this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol, a little bit different to what I've done in the past. So it's an episode of a TV show. Well, I say it's an episode of a TV show. It's an episode of The Honeymooners, but it's one of the specials, which came out a lot later than the original series. Let me give you a little bit of history about The Honeymooners, because I'd heard of it. And do you know why I'd heard of it? Because I knew that The Flintstones was based on The Honeymooners, but that's all I knew about it. Well, that's not all I knew about it. It's one other thing, which I'll come to a bit later on. Now, The Honeymooners stars Jackie Gleason, and he was the host of a show called The Cavalcade of Stars, which later on became The Jackie Gleason Show. And The Honeymooners itself started as a sketch, This sketch was based on a popular radio show called The Bickersons, and Jackie Gleason was Ralph Cramden. He's a Brooklyn bus driver. And then his wife is Alice. Now, she was played by a number of actresses. It began with a lady called Pert Kelton. And then it was Audrey Meadows. And then it was Sheila McRae. You've also got his best friend, Edward Norton. Now, he was played by Art Carney. And Art Carney, he's got a bit of a history with Christmas stuff, particularly as Santa Claus. He played Santa Claus in The Great Santa Switch, which was a Muppet Christmas special that I covered a while ago. He also played Santa Claus in a TV movie called The Night They Saved Christmas. And he played sort of Santa in a version of The Twilight Zone as well, which I really should cover, actually, because I think it's the only Christmas version of A Twilight Zone I'm aware of. Anyway, the other main character was Trixie. That was Ed Norton's wife, and she was played by four actresses, but in this one we're talking about, she was played by a lady called Jane Keane. So due to the popularity of this sketch on the Jackie Gleason show, they created a sitcom which is referred to as the Classic 39 Episodes, and this ran from October 1955 to September 1955. But after the 39 episodes, Jackie Gleason wanted to do the Jackie Gleason show again, and so it returned as sketches, but often the whole show would be like an hour-long episode of The Honeymooners. But the one I'm going to talk about today is actually from 1977, and they returned to do four stage specials, two of which were Christmas-based, and the one I'm talking about is called The Honeymooners Christmas Carol. So all in, from its first sketch in 1950, it ran all the way till 1977, nearly 30 years in some shape or form. Anyway, let's look at this one. Now, when I said it's a little bit different, the problem we've got here is it's not one of those sitcom episodes where one of the characters is Scrooge and they get visited by a lot of ghosts. It's not at all, which is what I was expecting when I started watching it, but it's not. It's, well, you'll find out as we talk about it. So, like I said, this is one of the live stage specials. This was the intro at the start of it. Have a listen.
Coming to you from Guzman Hall in the heart of Miami's beautiful new World Center, Jackie Gleason presents The Honeymooners, starring Jackie Gleason and Art Carney, Audrey Meadows and Jane Keane, with guest star Gail Gordon. And away we go!
It opens up at the bus depot, and Jackie Gleason, I'm going to call him Jackie Gleason, his character's Ralph Cramden, I'm probably going to keep calling him Jackie Gleason. He's chatting to a chap called Pop Parker, who's doing some sweeping up, and we get the first joke. Have a listen to this.
What was that noise I heard out there?
Oh, well, I was parking a bus, and I backed into a sign.
Sign? What sign?
The one that says, our bus drivers are the most careful bus drivers in the world.
Yeah, just so you know, most of the jokes aren't very good, but if you listened to the laughter that the audience gave it, you'd think it was hilarious. But there you go. Anyway, then in comes Ralph's mate Ed, who I told you was played by Art Carney, and we get a couple more jokes. I'm not going to keep playing the jokes for you. I'm only going to play them if they're half decent. And there ain't many that are half decent, kids. And then we find out that Ralph is going to be away for Christmas. He's taking Alice, his wife, to Miami for 6 days or 7 nights or something. Anyway, then in comes their boss, Mr. Marshall, and he wants someone to direct the Christmas play. So have a listen to this.
Cramden, you know all the drivers. Do you know anyone with theatrical experience?
Gee, I don't know. Why?
Well, I'm looking for someone to direct my wife's annual play. It's for a very worthy cause, to feed all the stray cats in the city. She has a motto for it, too. Make a kitty cat merry at Christmas.
So the boss walks off, and we find out that the guy who directed the play in a previous year got a promotion and ended up marrying the boss's daughter. So Ralph's like, you know, I've got to do this so I get a promotion. So he comes up with the idea that he'll direct and Ed can be in it. And so he tells the boss that he'll do it. Well, actually he gets Ed to tell him. But anyway, and then we get this little joke. And before this joke, let me explain to you that Art Carney's character, Ed Norton, not that Ed Norton, obviously, works in the sewers, okay? So have a listen to this joke, which is actually all right.
Mr. Norton, have you appeared on Broadway?
No.
Have you appeared off Broadway?
No.
Where have you appeared?
Well, you might say I'm a beard under Broadway.
Yeah. So the boss is very happy that Ralph is going to direct the play, and he walks off again. But then Ralph realises that he's supposed to be going on holiday when the play's going to be shown. Oh my goodness me. Now, the next bit's a bit contrived, because he could obviously go up to the boss and say, look, I'm really sorry, turns out I'm going to be on holiday, I can't direct the play. But he doesn't take that into account, and he's just thinking, oh, because there was a bit earlier about one of the other employees lied to the boss, so the boss sacked him, and he's going to like, oh, I can't tell him I was lying, that I'm good at directing stuff, I'm just going to have to do the play. Really, I thought that was a bit thin, to be honest. I thought they could have come up with something better there. But anyway, the next scene is at Ralph's house. Now, don't forget, this is a stage show. Okay, so there's not many scenes, and there's not many sets. But this whole scene is at Ralph's house, okay? And him and Alice, that's his wife, who I should have said, she's played by the second actress to play the character, and that's Audrey Meadows, and she's the one who played Alice in the classic 39 episodes. Anyway, they're arguing, because she wants to go to Miami, and so Ralph is like, right, that's it, I'm sleeping in the living room, and he brings out this fold-out bed. And then we get a lot of really bad jokes in their argument, because the whole scene is pretty much the argument. But one of the jokes, actually, I did think was okay. Have a listen to this.
Who is number one, Ralph? Answer me.
But Alice...
Answer me!
Answer her, Crandon, so we can all get
this. I thought that was quite funny. I like the guy shouting in the background. And Ralph can't seem to unfold the bed, so Alice goes and does it. She does it really easy. And then Ralph lays on the folding bed and rolls off. And that happens like 3 or 4 times. And I hate to say it, it's not funny any of those 3 or 4 times. So during this argument, with all these hilarious goings-on, we get this line.
One of these days, Alice. One of these days. Pow! Right at this.
And this was a line that Ralph would frequently say to Alice, often with a different ending. So one of these days, straight in a kisser, or straight to the moon, stuff like that, he'd say. And this is one of the reasons I was familiar with the Honeymooners, because I was listening to a podcast and it was talking about this and how you wouldn't get away with it in this day and age, as you shouldn't. He's threatening his wife with domestic abuse. So, yeah, that was the only other reason I knew anything about the Honeymooners. Yeah, that's the one time we get it in this episode. His catchphrase, as it were. Then Ed turns up, I think because he's heard them arguing, so he's going to help settle the argument. And this is his idea. Listen to this.
I can settle it in 1 minute. Now, right up there! All those in favor of Ralph, say aye! All those in favor of Alice, say aye!
Aye!
And I found that mildly funny, I suppose. Finally, though, Alice agrees that they're not going to go to Miami, because Ralph signs this note that says he's going to take her on a massive trip, like all over the place, if they do the play. So, and then they can go to bed. So that's wonderful. So now the next scene, they're still at Ralph's place, and they're going to start rehearsing the play. And Ralph and Ed are both dressed as directors, and it's a sight gag that is about as funny as all the other gags. And Ralph is going to play Bob Cratchit, and Alice is going to play Mrs. Cratchit. Well, hang on, that's not quite what they say. Have a listen to this.
The name of this play is A Christmas Carol. I play Daddy Cratchit, and you play my beloved wife, Mother Cratchit.
Yeah. Ed's wife, Trixie, is going to play their 13-year-old daughter, and Ed is going to play both Tiny Tim and Scrooge. And then we get a Tiny Tim joke. Have a listen.
You play Tiny Tim.
Tiptoe.
Not that Tiny Tim.
You might not get that, but Tiny Tim was a famous singer that sung in his high-pitched vibrato sort of voice in the, I think it was the 60s. Yeah, and that was one of the songs he sung. Anyway, then they start talking about the play and what they're going to do, and it's just generally bad joke after bad joke. But then some chap comes in to drop off the posters that Ralph's got made for the show. And this is what it says on the posters.
Ralph Cramden presents A Christmas Carol starring Ralph Cramden. directed by Ralph Cramden, produced by Ralph Cramden.
Hey, wait a minute, my name's not on there.
Don't let that worry you, Ed. Charles Dickens didn't make it either.
Yeah, another funny one, I guess. Then the delivery bloke, who's just dropped off the posters, he wheels in this massive basket of cornflakes and also two spray cans of white paint. And you're thinking, what's this about? Well, Ralph explains it. Have a listen to this.
There's a snow scene. So what we do is take those spray cans, spray each individual cornflake white. Then we get a great big net. We get a big net and we put the cornflakes in the net, hang the net over the stage, and when the snow scene comes, we tug on a rope and the snowflakes fall gently down from heaven. That's how they do it in Hollywood.
So there we go. They're going to spray each of the cornflakes individually, as you would, of course. Then at this point, Mr. Marshall, the boss, he pops by briefly to see how things are going. And he's so happy that the two wives are getting involved that he's going to buy each of them a present. He goes off, and then Ralph and Ed leave to go and rehearse. Well, after Ralph and Ed have left, the girl's like, oh, I've got a great idea. Let's spray him in the face with this white paint. So they call Ralph to come back down. And when they open the door, they spray the spray cans all over Mr. Marshall, who's just turned up again with these two presents. Oh, the humanity. Yeah, so that was really funny. Now we cut to the play. So this is it, boys and girls. This is the version of A Christmas Carol. It's not a massive version. Mr. Marshall comes on stage, he introduces it, and then we get these six carol singers that start singing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. I've got to say, I'm glad that they sung God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, because that's the song that the carol singer sings in the book. Here's the thing though, six carol singers, why aren't they in the blooming play? They've got Ed playing both Tiny Tim and Scrooge. They couldn't have asked one of these geezers to play Tiny Tim. Well, they're not in it anyway. At least they're not in it after they've sung their song. So, Mrs. Cratchit and Trixie, the daughter, they're outside their house and they're worried that Mr. Scrooge is coming to evict them. But Bob has had a great idea on how to solve their money problems. They're like, oh, Bob will be back any minute. Now, then Bob does come back and he's with Ed, who's obviously not Tiny Tim because he's the same size as his dad. And Ralph is actually dressed as Bob Cratchit, a bit like Willy Wonka, like a much chubbier version of Willy Wonka, but he's wearing like a purple jacket and a purple top hat. Anyway, did his plan to solve their money problems work? Have a listen to this.
Did your ingenious plan solve our money problem?
No, the lousy horse ran third.
Then we get a number of bad jokes, and this is just one of them.
It smells like snow.
Smells more like cornflakes to me.
But then Scrooge is coming, and so they go in the house and Ed has to get changed into a Scrooge costume, and judging by the canned laughter, it's very, very funny. Judging by watching it, it ain't that funny. Scrooge is keen to evict him, but then we get some gags where Scrooge just sort of goes in the house trying to send Tiny Tim out, but obviously Tiny Tim can't come out because Scrooge is Tiny Tim. So then Scrooge goes back in and they're having a fight in the house. And then this dummy of Tiny Tim gets chucked out of the window, which is supposed to be funny, I suppose. And then I'm not quite sure where Scrooge disappears to, but Tim turns to his dad and says, oh, I think I've solved our money problems. I've picked Scrooge's pocket and he's got this great big wad of cash. And then we get this, which is actually quite funny.
I happen to pick his pocket.
Proper to keep that money, Tiny Tim.
Remember, moral righteousness.
What's moral righteousness?
He is the second dog in the third race at the Miami Kennel Club. Doors open in 6 feet.
Now, that's pretty much the end, but I should have mentioned this before. The whole time, Bob keeps going, it smells like snow. It smells like snow. Like when we got the joke about, well, it smells like cornflakes. Well, then, they're all still outside. They're all happy, and all the snow drops on them all, and that's the end of the play. It's quite short and very bad. But then the boss comes up to see them after the show and he's over the moon. He said it's a smash hit and they've made more money this year than any of the previous year's shows. And to say thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Marshall, because his wife's there now, give him a cat, which is pregnant, so he's gonna have lots more cats. and Ralph is all upset that all he's got is a crappy old cat. And then Mr. Marshall comes back and promotes him to traffic manager. So it all worked out wonderfully in the end. So there we go, boys and girls. As versions of A Christmas Carol go, well, is it one? Not really. I mean, there's no ghosts at any point, not even Jacob Marley. We barely get to see Scrooge, to be honest, when he's not being Tiny Tim. But it's something. I mean, it wasn't that Christmassy either, really. But it's something. I guess that's all we can take away from it, kids. It's something. Now, I watched it on Amazon Prime. I didn't look for it anywhere else. It might be on YouTube, I don't know. But that's where I found it. It was free. So there's that, I suppose. If you want to check it out, you can. But I don't think I'll be watching it again, to be honest. But before we move on, boys and girls, just want to say a couple more things about The Honeymooners. Because there's actually been a recent movie version of it. Now, when I say recent, it ain't that recent. It's 2005, so that's over 20 years ago. It starred Cedric the Entertainer as Ralph Cramden. Yeah, it didn't do very well, either financially or critically. But since then, there's also been more talk of reviving the sitcom. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. The last thing I saw was about 4 years ago, so I'm guessing it's stalled. Maybe they're not going to bother. But I don't really see the point, to be honest. I mean, The Honeymooners was, I think, the first of its kind. But since then, there's been loads of TV shows that are very similar. We've got a husband and wife that bicker all the time. It's not a new idea. Anyway, that was this episode's version of A Christmas Carol. Make of it what you will. Now let's do this. Boys and girls, it is the moment you've all been waiting for. And when I say you've all been waiting for, two people have been waiting for this. Last episode, my recommendation was Theo of Golden. It's a lovely book. Bob Baker sent me a voucher through Audible so I could listen to it. I couldn't use the voucher because it was on audible.com. I've got audible.co.uk. I did explain this in the episode. It's possible I could have found a workaround. I didn't know what I was doing. So I bought my own copy on Audible and I thought I'd give away this voucher or credit to one of my lovely listeners. So I said, all you got to do is say, put my name in the hat. And two people asked me to put their name in the hat. One person, Angela Moss, she said she'd already read it. It was part of her book club and she thoroughly endorses it, which is nice to hear. I'm glad you enjoyed it as well, Angela. But we've only got two names going in the hat. I've already written them down. They are Frank Talley and Stephen Stickler. I've written them on a bit of paper. I'm reaching in the hat now and I'm pulling out the name. Here it comes. Here comes the name. Two people. Is that all? Two people wanted to listen to my recommendation. Right, who is it? Hang on, let's have a look. And the winner is Frank Talley. Well done, Frank. Yeah, sorry, Stephen Stickler. Interestingly, Stephen Stickler actually said in his email that he scored 37 in the quiz. I didn't read it out during the quiz scores. I'm not sure how seriously he was taking it. I think he was giving it the respect it actually deserves. But yeah, well done to Frank Talley. So I'll send that email now. To be honest, I'm doing it now. I'm recording this a few days before the podcast comes out. You've already got it, Frank. You already knew you were the winner, didn't you? Yeah, you lucky boy. Okay, well, congratulations. Now, I'm going to recommend it again, kids. Check out the book Theo of Golden. It's just a delight. A delightful book. But this episode's proper recommendation is a board game. Now, I've never recommended a board game before on the show. I'm doing it now, and it's great. So here's the thing. A couple of episodes, I had Frank and Shelley Arnold on the show, and they stayed with us. They came over from the US, spent some time in London, spent some time with me and the girls and my wife. It was lovely. It was wonderful having them. And while they were here, we played a few board games in the evening with the girls, and one Shelley talked about was called Telestrations, and she said it's lots of fun. It's kind of like the telephone game, which in the UK we call Chinese whispers, where you sort of whisper something in someone's ear and they pass it on to the next person, and then when it comes out at the end, you've got a different mangled up message or whatever. Well, this one is similar to that, but you actually draw it down on a pad, and then the next person has to write down what they think that drawing is, and then they pass it to the next person and they have to draw a picture of what the previous person thought it was, and then the next person looks at the next picture and they write what it, and it carries on all the way round. You can have up to 8 people in a game. We've only got 4 in our family, so we've been playing it with the 4 of us, and it's so much fun. And the best thing is, and this is what makes it just fantastic, is you don't have to do it for the score. There's no scoring involved. See, the problem my wife has with us playing board games is one of my girls or me tends to kick off if they don't win. Usually me, you know, I throw a bit of a tantrum, hissy fit, rolling on the floor, screaming and crying until I've wet myself. That's normally what happens. Occasionally, one of the girls will get angry and they'll storm off to their room. Well, with this, it's just fun for everyone. There's no winners, there's no losers. Well, I say there's no winners. Everyone's a winner because it's so much fun. It really is funny. You're trying to draw these things. It's not something easy, like a tennis racket. Someone's drawn a tennis racket, you write tennis racket, next person reads tennis racket, draws a tennis racket. It's not like that. It's a lot trickier than that, the things they've got on the cards. But it's so much fun. It's called Telestrations. And the funny thing is, last weekend, I was at the car boot sale. We're walking around, and don't you know, someone was selling it on their stall. Now, so we bought it. It was brand new, never been used. Got it for £2. It was fantastic. I think if you're buying it in the shops, you're probably looking at least a tenner, but it's still worth it. It's definitely worth it. It's a great game. Yeah, Telestrations. Fun for all the family. And I want to say thank you to Shelley for recommending that as well. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Well done to Frank Talley for winning the audiobook. Thanks to everyone who sent in their quiz score. And of course, thanks so much to Bob Baker. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, don't forget to email me your quiz score at totalchristmas@gmail.com. But in the meantime, boys and girls, you know I love you. Merry Happy Christmas.
I get it. You're taking me back in time to show me my mother and father, and I'm supposed to get all goosey and blubbery. Well, forget it, pal. You got the wrong guy.
That's exactly what Attila the Hun said. But when he saw his mother, Niagara Falls.
Let's get this over with.